picture this morning coming from my own PA. From the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 21, chapter 4, verses 21 to 33. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. The good news of our Lord. We're going to be handing over our sermon time to missionary Michael Rokenbroek. He has come all the way up. He's been staying at the seminary, actually. I'm guessing because it's difficult to get back to Uganda with all the travel stuff. So he has joined us this morning for service, and he's here to share the good news of what God's doing in ministry in Uganda and around the world. So let's pray for him as we get started, shall we? Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful. Your word is effective. It bears fruit because your Spirit works through it. And I pray that you would help us to grow as we hear what you are doing and as it is grounded in your word and in your truth. Bless Michael. We pray that you bless his words and his heart this morning. And we thank you that you have made us a part of what you continue to do throughout the whole world. We pray this in your name. Amen.
They went across the lake to the region of the Galilee. And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man was possessed by an evil spirit. Came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for many times he had been bound hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he went among the hills and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now when he saw Jesus, he ran to him, he fell on his knees before him, and he cried out at the top of his voice, what do you want with me? the demon came out of the man and went into the king, and a herd, about 2,000 in number, ran on the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those who had been taking care of the king ran away and reported this in the countryside and in the town, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And when they came to Jesus,
Would you believe it?
Capernaum was a nice spot for Jesus to do his teaching because it was basically the center of the known world. It also happens to be the site of the largest Jewish synagogue that we've come up. It had a school attached to it, which ironically was built by a Gentile, but that's another story. Jesus did most of his teaching across the four Gospels from Capernaum, and if you go and visit Israel today, you can still visit this synagogue and this school. They built something on top of it since then, but they call it Jesus' classroom. And as a high school English teacher, that just makes it cool. Anybody who wanted to be a rabbi probably spent a considerable time in Capernaum. It was a center of theological thought. It was basically the seminary of the Jewish world. Meanwhile, on the exact opposite end of the cultural spectrum is the Decapolis. Deca means what? Capolis means city.
The ten cities.
Now, how did these ten cities get this reputable name? What made them so special? Well, if you wanted to be a Gentile and you wanted to live among the Jews, you were going to find a problem. The Jews didn't like you very much. They had laws against the sorts of behavior that you wanted to do. If you wanted to have your drunken revelry, if you wanted to put up your pagan altar, if you wanted to go to your brothel, none of these things were allowed in Jew territory. Because the teaching of the Sadducees was that God's kingdom is either now or never. There's not going to be an afterlife. If we want the blessings promised by the laws of Moses, we have to be holy now. We have to curse the land of sin now. Or else we're just going to experience curse and oppression. And we all know the Jews of Jesus' day were very much feeling those things. So when those Jews in holy Capernaum looked across that shore to unholy Decapolis, the place where the Gentiles had erected their cities and had sanctions from the government of Rome to be able to be Gentiles there, those were the things that needed to be expounded. Those were the pimples that needed to be popped. Nobody liked looking across the lake because it was a dark and sinful place, the Las Vegas of Israel. So
something bad was coming in, and there was still time to turn around and to go back. Because I don't think that Jesus, at the first wisp of wind, said stop, or the first raindrop. You know, the text said that it was a fury of squall which comes up and threatens to swamp the boat. So now, not only do they have all of these cultural reasons, social reasons, personal sensibility reasons to turn back, but now they have an actual imminent physical threat. They could die. And the text does not comment on which of these boats make their way across the lake. We know that Jesus' boat makes it. We don't know about the other. But assuming that they were being operated by sensible boat operators, any Galilean fisherman, I think, at this point says, okay, folks, we're turning around and going back. Well, hopefully, some made it. But no sooner do they pass through this storm than they reach the hills. The hills of the Gerizims. And what is waiting for them on these hills? Imagine the noise being made by 2,000 tanks. And it probably wasn't just the sense of hearing that was being stimulated. People who had grown up knowing that pigs are unclean, and by the way, not just pigs, but also tombs and dead things, and they're full of wounds for their group. So here they are, pushing inward, and as if all of that were not enough, Satan decides to send a friendly welcoming committee. This demoniac man, who cut himself, he opens the chain, flecks the blood, and he throws it on the top of his heart. You know, the text only identifies a single character who steps out of the boat onto the shoreline. And is it any wonder why? Which of you would want to go and meet this man?
the working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I didn't put the communion slide in, but as it is Communion Sunday, I would encourage you to bring out your communion pack at this point. Remove the top layer of Mylar and get out the wafer. And after that, remove the lower foil layer carefully and expose the grape juice. Sounds kind of like a movie theater. Yeah. Anyone needing a hand, or they got it all worked out? The night before he went to the cross, the night he was betrayed, so that his disciples would understand who he was and what he had come to do, as part of their Passover, he took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant, which is in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the remission of your sins. Whenever you drink from it from now on, do this for the remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul tells us, as often as we get together and eat bread in this way and drink from the cup in this way, we proclaim the Lord's death. Jesus died for you. We will continue to proclaim that until he comes again. Our table prayer, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. Pray that with me now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. The body of Christ was broken for you, and he is your daily bread. Take and drink. The blood of Christ was shed for you for the remission of your sins. Now the true and real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for you and whose blood was shed for you, may he guard you and keep you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. We will be proceeding to the benediction in just a moment, though I realize I don't have my basket, so you can either leave your communion packs carefully on the floor, or you can just throw them away. It's nicer if you can throw them away, but as you're able. But before we do that, if you are so inclined as to want to partner with some of the missionary work going on through the AFLC, right now, Michael has actually requested, if you at all want to partner with any missionaries, there's a missionary family, the Burgers, who are in the Netherlands, actually. Kind of stalled out and stuck there due to paperwork and travel problems. And so he is kind of asking as an appeal if he wanted to give a special gift or anything like that to kind of help the mission work. There's a basket back there to do that. We're also going to pray for the Burgers right now, just very briefly, that God be with them and help them out. So let's do that. Loving Father, we thank You that You love, that You care, that You are here with us, and that You are there with them. We pray that You would smooth the way with their paperwork, that they would be where they most need to get to. Lord, we pray that You would provide for them. Lord, we pray that You would provide amply for the funding necessary for their continued mission work. Lord, we pray for our other missionaries who have had hitches and glitches and have found themselves in the lurch because of all of the craziness with this virus. Lord, we pray that You would please grant them Your provision and Your encouragement. Lord, for Michael, we pray that You would continue to bless and encourage him as he continues to share and witness and encourage people with Your word and Your truth. We pray that You would also amply be his supply as well. And we thank You for that faithfulness that You continue to show to us. Lord, guide us and keep us from being stopped at the wrong side, or rather being stopped from going to the wrong side of Galilee if You would have us go there and when, and help us to see and follow. We thank You for Your love. We praise You for Your love now and always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved by God, you'll never know how much the Lord loves you. But you can understand an awful lot of it in the fact that He died to save you. And He lives and He puts His name upon you. So I would encourage you to now please stand and receive the Lord's blessing and the Lord's name upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you in a smile and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. God be with, bless and keep you, and sustain you as you do that long, slow Minnesota goodbye. Amen.